Welcome to Speak to Me with Bible teacher Billy Pruitt. Today we're going to hear part two of the message titled, Is the Baptism in the Holy Spirit Separate from Conversion? If you've missed part one, you may download a free MP3 copy on our website, speaktomeradio.com. Let's get started.
Hello, and thank you for listening today. Today we're going to pick right up where we left off. Last week we were talking about the simple question, is the baptism in the Holy Spirit separate from conversion? We talked about this in relation to whether or not it's separate from conversion or whether the conversion and the baptism in the Holy Spirit are the same thing and happen at the same time. And as we began to look into the book of Acts, we saw two different scenarios played out in the book of Acts chapter 2 with the apostles in the upper room, and also in Acts chapter 8 with the Samaritan believers that were won to the Lord under the ministry of Philip. And in both of those situations, we learned that the people on whom the baptism of the Holy Spirit came were indeed saved before the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place. Just to give you a quick recap, the apostles and those that were with them, the 120 that were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, were surely saved before the day of Pentecost. And we went into that in great detail last week. And if you want to hear that, you can get a copy of that from our website, speaktomeradio.com, or you can just give us a call. We'd be happy to help you. And the second one that we looked at was the Samaritans. Now, the Samaritans, they received the word of God by the preaching of Philip, and they were saved, and they were baptized. And then days later, the apostles Peter and John came and laid their hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So we see in both of these instances that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the people, but it happened well after the fact that they were indeed converted. Now there are three other occurrences in the book of Acts that we're going to need to look at in order to come up with an answer to this question as to whether or not the baptism of the Holy Spirit is separate from conversion or whether it's the same thing, one in altogether. And so we're going to look at those three today on this broadcast of Speak to Me. Just as a reminder, I want to refresh your memory on the things that we talked about last week as it relates to what we're looking for. If the baptism and the Holy Spirit are indeed the very same thing and happen at the same time all the time, then what we're looking for is to see that the biblical record indicates that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and conversion occurred at the same time every time. Otherwise, we're going to find that it did not happen at the same time every time, and that's what we're looking to find out. Does it happen at the same time, or are there occasions where there is a separation of space between the two? Well, that's what we're looking for to determine, and we're going to do so by turning to quite possibly the most memorable conversion of all of history, and that is the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, and of course we know him more commonly by the name of Paul the Apostle. As we understand Saul from the book of Acts, we see that he begins to be mentioned at the death of Stephen. And then after the death of Stephen, of course, he takes a priority in being one of the main persecutors of the church. In fact, he wreaks all kind of havoc in the church. And he received letters to go to Damascus in order to persecute the church even in Damascus. And of course, we know that as he was on the way to Damascus, that the Lord Jesus appeared to him and spoke to him, and he was completely blinded at that point in time, and he had to be led by the hand, and he was led by the hand into Damascus, the city, and on the street called Straight. And at that point in time is where we're going to pick up our story, and it's in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 17. And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. So here we have this very brief story of this experience between Ananias and the Apostle Paul. Well, he was later to be called the Apostle Paul. Nevertheless, we have this experience, and we notice a few things. This man Ananias, he comes into the house, he lays hands on Saul, and Saul receives a miracle that his eyes are healed and he's no longer blind. He's able to look up. And so we see this take place. And the question that we're bringing to this text is this. Does his experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and his experience of conversion, does it happen at the same time, or is there a space between? Well, this is one of those interesting stories in the Bible that you can't just read the text that you're looking at and get the complete picture. And the reason for that is because it has a parallel telling. And these happen throughout the Bible, and they're very interesting stories, but you got to dig a little bit in order to get to it. And so this is one of those stories that has a parallel telling. The parallel comes in Acts chapter 22, and Paul is retelling the story, and this is at a later date. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 11, he says this, "And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one, Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Well, here in this secondary passage, we see the same story being told, and of course from a different perspective here, Paul being the retelling of the story, as opposed to Luke, the author, being the narrator of the story, in chapter 9. And so when we see this different perspective, we get a little different picture of this. The point, though, that we want to make is whether or not the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened at the time of conversion or whether there was some kind of a delay between the two. And looking at this story, it is pretty near impossible to determine whether or not they happened at the same time or whether they happened separately. The passage in Acts chapter 22 does not mention the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it does mention the idea of being baptized and washing away sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's in verse 16. That sounds like conversion, of course, calling on the name of the Lord and washing away sins, and of course water baptism, but it does not mention the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Whereas the story in the book of Acts chapter 9, it does not speak about washing away sins, and it doesn't speak about calling on the name of the Lord Jesus, but it does speak of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the receiving of sight. In verse 17, Ananias said, "That thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Interestingly enough, neither of these passages is conclusive to tell us whether or not these two events, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the receiving of conversion, whether they happened at the same time or they happened at separate times. And the reason for this is because neither passage gives us either experience. It simply says that Ananias came in for that purpose. It gives us a piece of Ananias' speech, but it never actually portrays the event that Ananias was saying that was going to come to pass. Now, we certainly believe that the Apostle Paul did receive conversion on this experience, and we certainly believe that the Apostle Paul received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at this time, but we do not see that told to us in the text. And it's very interesting because the author, Carl Brumbeck, mentions this in his book called What Meaneth This? And I'm going to read to you just a short passage from his book. And he says this, "It is true that Ananias put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. But what saith the next verse? And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized." Now I want you to pay close attention to these next words that he states. "Not a single word about his reception of the Spirit. Not a single word about the fulfillment of the prophecy of Ananias, that thou mightest be filled with the Holy Ghost." Of course, we all conclude that the will of the Lord was accomplished in this respect as well as in the restoration of his sight. In other words, Brumback is saying, there is simply not a retelling of the experience. We hear that that's why Ananias came, was to give him his sight and to let him receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we're not actually told about the reception of the Spirit. We're not actually told. We're told about the scales falling off of his eyes and him receiving sight. But we are not told about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And neither are we actually told about the conversion. So upon this evidence, we have to say that this is inconclusive. We're not able to determine whether they came separately or together on this occasion. As we look to the next occasion in the book of Acts, we turn to the household of Cornelius. Now, Cornelius was a very interesting person in the scriptures. One of the reasons for that is that Cornelius was a Gentile. Now, as Cornelius was praying, he had a vision, and an angel visited with him and told him, hey, you need to go find this man named Simon Peter, told him exactly where he was, told him to go get him, and told him, hey, Simon Peter is the one that is going to be able to tell you how to be saved. Let me read it to you. It's actually in Acts chapter 11. He says this, verse 13, and he shewed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Well, this man, Cornelius, was a diligent man, and he saw this angel. He decided immediately to take action, so he sent for Simon Peter. Well, when Simon Peter came, he wasn't really sure exactly what to do, but he knew that the Lord had sent him to go because he had visions concerning the matter. And so he came and he was ready to do whatever it was that the Lord gave him to do. And so Peter came in, and when he began to speak, and he told the story of Jesus Christ. He told about how God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and this is Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went on to do good things and healed the sick and different things. And then he talks about, all the way down in verse 40, him God raised up on the third day and shewed him openly. And he talked about basically the witnesses of the resurrection. Now, as he's speaking on the basic, simple gospel teaching of Jesus Christ, born in the flesh, died on the cross, buried and raised again, the very simple of gospel confessions, as he's beginning to talk of these things, verse 44 of Acts chapter 10 says this, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. And then Peter went on to say, well, who can forbid them to be baptized? And so he went ahead and baptized them in water on that very same occasion. And then he had to answer, of course, to the church in Jerusalem, who didn't think he ought to go on to visit with any Gentiles like that, some of them there. But nevertheless, that's the basic of the story. And so in order to recreate this in our minds, we have Cornelius and his household, a bunch of people there. And Peter begins to preach, and he tells the basic gospel story of Jesus' death and resurrection. And then as he's preaching, right in the middle of the preaching, as an actual interruption to the preaching, the Holy Ghost falls upon the people, and they begin to speak in tongues. And this is immediately identified by the believers that were with Peter, who would have been Jewish believers that had gone along to see what was going to happen. And they immediately identify and say, hey, this is something that we're familiar with. So they recognized it. And so now, back to our question. In this scenario, in this case and situation, was the baptism of the Holy Spirit separate from conversion? Well, this one's an interesting one, and immediately it would seem as if we have to say, well, no, it seems like they came at the same time. We certainly can't put conversion after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That would certainly not do, and so we can't even begin to think that way. Some people have suggested that while Cornelius was in the process, and of course all of those that were with him, they already knew that Peter was coming with news that was going to bring them salvation. And as Peter was preaching, immediately when he mentioned Jesus and he mentioned the death and resurrection, that faith came into their hearts and into their lives, and they were converted as they listened just immediately before the Holy Spirit fell on them. Well, they, you know, and it's an interesting point, it's an interesting idea, but it doesn't say that in the scriptures. And so even though I don't have a problem with that, it just doesn't say it. And so if we're going to be honest with this text, it does appear that the baptism in the Holy Spirit and conversion on this occasion take place at the same time. Now, this is important for us to remember that if we're looking to find a pattern in the book of Acts for whether or not the baptism of the Holy Spirit and conversion are separate or together, we're looking for, if it's going to be together, it should be together all the time. If it is indeed one event, it should not occur on two different occasions. Okay, but if it is not the same event, if it is not the same experience, if conversion and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are different events, different happenings, then we should expect to see them happen at different times, but it is also possible that we would see them happen at the same time. Let me give you a little illustration. Imagine, if you will, that there's a person that takes a long extension cord and plugs it into a live outlet next to a swimming pool, and then holds on to the other end and jumps into the pool. Does he get wet? Yes, he absolutely gets wet. Does he get shocked? Absolutely. It may be the last shocking experience of his life. Well, the answer to both of these questions is yes. He does get wet and he does get shocked. Are both getting wet and getting shocked taking place at the same time? Yes, they're both happening at the same time. Are they the same experience? Well, no. A person can get wet without getting shocked, and a person can get shocked without getting wet. See, in this illustration, neither of these experiences is dependent on the other. However, both can happen independently, but in this case, they happen at the same time, just simply because that's the way the guy's holding the extension cord when he jumps in the pool. But it does not have to happen at the same time. Well, that's exactly what's happening in the case of Cornelius here. We have conversion experience, and we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit experience happening at the same time, even though those two experiences have happened separately in the book of Acts chapter 2 and in the book of Acts chapter 8. We're not sure about chapter 9 and 22 with the Apostle Paul, but on this occasion they both happen at the same time. There's no question about that. The question is this, though. Does this prove that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and conversion are now the same experience and should happen on the exact same time? Well, the answer to that question is absolutely not. And the reason for that is because this is the only example in the entire book of Acts where they both happen at the same time. So we should not take this to be a normative pattern. If it was, we should see all of them be that way, and they're simply not. And we're going to move on to our next one for sake of time, but our next experience that we're going to look at is in the book of Acts chapter 19. If you look at the book of Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul now has made several of his missionary journeys, and he's coming along to the place of Ephesus. And when he gets there, it's very interesting. He meets some interesting fellows. And I want to read this to you in Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Now that's Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. When we look at our question again, does the baptism of the Holy Spirit and conversion happen at the same time, or are these separate things? When we look at this question, this story in the book of Acts chapter 19 gives us some interesting things to talk about. And if you want to talk about some interesting debate, you'll find it in this chapter most definitely. And the debate normally centers around one simple word, and the word is since. If you're reading the King James Version, Acts chapter 2:19, verse 2 says, "He said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" Now, if you read most commentators, most study Bibles and that kind of thing, they're going to put in a statement here right at that point. Even if it's a King James study Bible, they're going to put a statement here that says, well, this word since should really be translated when. Not since, but rather when. And so that changes the question dramatically. And the reason it changes the question dramatically is because it questions the moment of conversion. If I ask you, have you received the Spirit since you believed? I'm asking you, at any point in time after you became a true believer, did you receive the Holy Spirit? See, that would present a separate from conversion baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if I ask you, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now I'm questioning your conversion to begin with. I want to share with you a detail, though, going beyond that. Almost all modern translations translate this question of the Apostle Paul to read, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? Now, that's the New Revised Standard Version, and I emphasized it with my words, but that's basically it. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? And you can look them up. The NIV has a footnote that simply says since can be used, but basically it uses the word when in the main body. The King James stands almost alone as a translation that still uses the word since. And it's very interesting about that. Now, the interesting part is this. This controversy over whether this should be when or whether this should be since is about 100 years old. Basically, the beginning of the 20th century is when this verse became a question mark. And the controversy, the interesting part about all of these biblical translations, these modern translations, is that all of these were created after the controversy began. Back in the older days, before this controversy over this verse took place, the King James is really the only one that we have that gives us real insight into that era, and it's interesting to note that it uses the word since. And since then, commentators that disagree with the word since have been trying to prove it wrong. I want to read to you, however, another scholar that speaks on this subject. His name is Dr. John Higgins, and he's writing this in a book called An Introduction to Theology, A Classical Pentecostal Perspective. He says this, "The grammatical construction of the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed, involves a Greek verb, received, with an aorist participle, having believed. While the question may be translated, did you receive when you believed, it may be preferable not to view the two actions of belief and receive as coincident. The general rule for translating the aorist participle is, antecedent action relative to the main verb is ordinarily expressed by the aorist or perfect. Thus, the question would be, did you receive since or after you believed? A receiving of the Holy Spirit subsequent to salvation is also supported by the context." Okay, so now that's a whole lot of things in there about the different parts of the Greek speech and that kind of thing. But the basic idea is that here you have a Greek scholar who is most definitely standing on the word since rather than on the word when, making the receiving of the Holy Spirit something that happened after conversion rather than that something happened as a part of the conversion. Well, Higgins goes on, and he makes an observation that I think is very interesting from the text. He says this. He said, presumably, they were baptized by Paul or one of his co-workers. Well, we know that. That took place in Acts chapter 19, verse 5. The new believers there, even if they were brand new believers, had never been believers before, and if Paul met them for the very first time and they just now received Christ, he baptized them in verse 5. Now, back to what Higgins says. Before he would have baptized them, Paul certainly would have been satisfied that they had truly believed and were converted. Not until they had believed and were baptized in water did Paul lay his hands on them and the Holy Spirit came upon them. When we look back in the text, Acts chapter 19, we see this is exactly what took place. Paul got there and he began to speak to these people about receiving the Holy Ghost. And they said, well, we don't know what that is. Well, you've never heard of that. And so he goes on to talk to them about Jesus and he talks to them about baptism and he baptizes them. In verse 5, it says, and when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Most scholars take that to mean water baptism. And agreeing with Higgins, there's no chance that Paul would baptize somebody that he did not truly believe was a converted person. I don't think he would have done that. And so he baptized them in water in verse 5, and then apparently when they came out of the baptism, in verse 6 now, it says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So we see that Paul here, even if it's only separated by the time it takes to baptize, there was a time where they were converted, and then they were baptized, however long it took to find water and baptize them, and there were 12 of them. And then after the baptism, then Paul laid his hands on them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the speaking in tongues to go along with that, just like on the day of Pentecost, and also just like in the chapter 10 with Cornelius and his household. So we see in the book of Acts, chapter 19, we see a group of believing people, and whether you separate with the word since or whether you use the word when, either way, they were clearly believers by the time they were baptized, and then after they were baptized, they received the Holy Spirit. And we call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we see most definitely a separation between their conversion experience and their experience of receiving of the Holy Spirit. To wrap this up, we have to conclude that based on the book of Acts, that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is indeed separate from conversion. They're not the same thing. They don't always come at the same time. It is possible for both of these things to come at the same time, but that is not always the case. In fact, according to the book of Acts, 1 out of 5 times that did happen, and the other times, except for the Apostle Paul, the baptism of the Holy Spirit came at a separate time from conversion. Well, that's about all the time that we have this week. We are so glad that you've joined us. Next week, we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit again, but this time we're going to be looking for the evidence of baptism. What is the evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Before we go today, let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we are so grateful for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We are so grateful that you have given us this blessing that comes to us separate from our conversion, something in addition to our conversion. You could have just given us salvation and left the cross and left this earth and never talked to us again, and we would need to be grateful. But you didn't do that. You have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us this mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit that comes that we can all experience your power. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to experience your power today, not just us here, but all over this radio listening audience. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, this is Billy Pruitt. Have you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit since you became a Christian? If so, we'd love to hear your testimony. We may even play it on the air. We're planning a very special testimony program, and we'd love for you to be part of it. You can call in your testimony or email it to us. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Speak to Me with Billy Pruitt. If this program has ministered to you and you would like to pray with someone, or maybe you just need to talk to someone about your soul, give us a call at 407-731-9998. Again, that's 407-731-9998. You can also email us at info@speaktomeradio.com. Again, that's info@speaktomeradio.com. For a free copy of today's message, just visit our website, speaktomeradio.com. Again, thank you for listening to Speak to Me with Billy Pruitt. May the Lord bless you today and have a great day.